Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, June the 1st. And welcome to the month of June. It's going by very fast. I don't know about you, but it's going by very fast this year of 2022. We got a couple of topics we want to get into, but I want to begin with something that happened on this day in history, 1967. So that would make it 55 years ago. The Beatles released their album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It was an album that the critics liked a great deal. It became in many ways their signature album. And, you know, if you look at the Rolling Stone magazine, it's the number one rock album of all time. And, you know, I actually didn't think it was their best album, but that's just my opinion. I thought that Volver, Rubber Soul, and that particular time frame was a lot better, in my opinion, than Sgt. Pepper's. Sgt. Pepper's was a good album, but not their best album, in my opinion. But nevertheless, Sgt. Pepper's has become their signature work. And there are some good songs in the album, like Lucy in the Sky, A Day in the Life, and so on. I mean, those are good albums. They're good songs. But I thought, honestly, that there were better albums. But what can I say? It is regarded by the critics as their number one album. And it came out on this day in 1967. So if you remember buying that album, well, you're probably a grandfather by now. I'm guessing that. If you remember buying that album, then you're probably a grandfather like me. So what can I say? The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, 55 years ago today, 1967. Wow. Talk about time flying. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Biden presidency, because I have a post coming out tomorrow talking about that famous phrase from Casey Stengel. Casey Stengel, of course, was one of the greatest baseball managers of all time. And after he left the Yankees, he was actually fired by the Yankees because they thought he was too old. So he became the manager of the New York Mets. And the New York Mets, they were an expansion team. It was their first year in the league. And the Mets lost 120 games, and they were just a very bad team. And Casey Stengel, looking at his team one night after they lost another game, went to one of the reporters and said, I've been in baseball for 100 years, and I've never seen so many ways of losing as I'm seeing night after night with the New York Mets. Well, I have not been following politics for 100 years, I'll put it that way. Been balloting politics for a long time, and I have not seen such disarray in the White House as we're seeing with the Biden presidency. It is really frightening what we're seeing. First of all, we have a man who cannot speak in public, because every time he gives a speech in public, something controversial happens. He always says something. I'm pretty sure that this is not on the script. In other words, I'm pretty sure they didn't put on the script for him to say some of the things that he's saying. But every time they put him in front of a camera, live, he goes off script, and he'll say things like when he was talking to the Naval Academy, talking to the graduates, the new class of the Naval Academy, he goes off about how he had been appointed to the Naval Academy, or he had an appointment to the Naval Academy back in 1965. Well, the problem with that is that it's completely inconsistent with the timeline of his university studies, wherever he was at the time. So how do you come up with something like that? How do you make up something like that? Well, I don't know. But it's becoming a real problem for his staff. The press secretary was confronted by this yesterday, or Monday or Tuesday, and she said, well, I didn't hear that speech. Okay, she didn't hear that speech. So what was she doing? She's supposed to be the press secretary at the very least. If you're going to have a press briefing, you should at least know what the president said in a major speech at the Naval Academy. But I guess she didn't get around to reading it or watching it or whatever. But again, there's a pattern of here of things that every time that President Biden speaks in public, he goes off track. He goes off the script, I guess. and starts talking out loud and begins to say a bunch of things that just don't make any sense. And, you know, we could do a whole show on that. We could do a whole show on that. But it's frightening. It's frightening. If you're at the White House, you got to be really worried about this, because he is, after all, the president of the United States. So when he said that that we're ready to defend Taiwan, completely a reversal of what the policy of the United States had been for years, you know, the White House has to clean it up. And then apparently now President Biden is getting angry with the White House staff, because they keep correcting him. And he thinks that this is projecting weakness, that he keeps making mistakes. And somehow they keep correcting him. And he thinks that, wow, this is maybe a weakness. I'm coming across as a weak man when you're constantly correcting me. Well, I don't know if he's coming across as a weak man, but he's coming across as a very confused man. Somebody who, frankly, you have to really wonder what exactly he's thinking and what he's doing. So I'm going to make a prediction. I think we're going to get to the point where he does not do any live speeches. I think that you're just going to basically lock him up, and the next speech that he gives is going to be recorded or pre-recorded or whatever, because I just think we're getting to the point where it is a problem every time he speaks in public. And that is just a fact. All you have to do is look at the number of mistakes that he's making and look at the number of times that the staff has to go out and clean it up. It is remarkable. I've never seen anything like this. To paraphrase Casey Stengel, when he said, you know, Casey Stengel said he had been in the baseball business for 100 years and he had never seen so many ways to lose a game. Well, to paraphrase Casey Stengel, I've been watching politics for a long time and I've never seen so many ways to screw up a message as we're seeing with President Biden. Well, there was a trial. There was a trial in Washington, D.C., a verdict. You know me. I don't like to criticize juries, because I think that's what the system is. The jury convicts or not convicts. In this case, it is a little incredible to me that they reached that conclusion, because I think there was evidence that this man went to the FBI to present information, and that he was connected to the Clinton campaign. And how do we know he was connected to the Clinton campaign? Because he sent them the invoice. You know, they paid for whatever he did. So I don't know where this is going to go from here. I know there's a lot of dissatisfaction with this verdict. And I think it's up to Mr. Durham right now. He's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to do something. And I think what he has to do is he has to write a report putting everything down and saying, this is what I found, and this is what I believe happened, and put that report in the hands of a Republican Congress next year, and let's see where it goes. But it is obvious to me that there was some fishy stuff going on between the Clinton campaign and the FBI, and they shouldn't get away with it. They should not get away with it, because our politics will suffer if you can weaponize or politicize the FBI. So something is wrong with that verdict. Again, the jury's word is the last word, as we know. But there's a lot of questions about that jury, including some of the members of the jury being Clinton campaign contributors. You know, that right there, how they made it to the jury is a little bit confusing to me. You know, Dick Morris has a very interesting, he does a daily video, and he's got a very interesting video today saying that it's going to be very difficult to convict a Democrat in Washington, D.C., because the jury is so Democratic. And I wonder, he may be right about that. He may be right about that after we've seen this particular verdict in Washington. Well, down in South Texas, a couple of things going on down in South Texas. The Cuellar-Cisneros race is not official yet, even though Cuellar is leading by 177 votes. But it's not official yet. They have not declared the winner. I'm not sure if there's going to be a recount, but right now there's no winner in that race. And what makes that interesting is that there is a Republican lady who's waiting to see whether she's going to be running against Henry Cuellar or she's going to be running against Jessica Cisneros. And she's going to put up quite a fight, this Republican lady. Her name is Cassie Garcia, an excellent candidate, who I think could very well surprise in that district and end up flipping that district to the Republicans in November. There's also a very interesting special election going on in South Texas, and that is, I think that's going to happen in the next week or so. And that is a race to replace an outgoing congressman who's retiring and going into business or something. And there is a Republican lady who's running in that district. Her name is Maida Flores, who, according to some of the polling data, is actually leading in the polls. That would be an earthquake if she were to win that district. That's District 34 down in South Texas. You know, in a previous show, I said that there's a good chance that the three districts on the border are going to be won by three conservative Republican ladies in November. And definitely 34 will be. I think 28 could very well be. I don't know about the other one. But the idea that you have these Republican women in South Texas competing at this level with Democrats is really an indication of just how much progress the Republican Party has made in South Texas. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. There's been a tremendous rejection of the Democrat Party in South Texas. And you're seeing that all the time. And I believe, I'll make a prediction, I think at least two of those Republican ladies will win in November, and maybe all three, depending on how big the wave is. And right now the wave is looking more and more and more like it's going to be pretty big. And it's going to be a big red wave in November. And that's going to be absolutely great. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, on Friday, we're going to be chatting with an old friend, Barry Jacobson. We had him on the show many times when we did the military shows. Well, Barry is running for the state legislature in California, and he's going to join us on Friday to talk a little bit about his race and some of the issues out there. So that's going to be fascinating. I'm looking forward to that chat with Barry on Friday. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.